9 on the Fan.
Castle takes the snap, whips it out to Cordero Patterson to the right side, gets a great block from Matt Asiata, and Cordero gets loose at the 40 to the Ravens 50.
Oh,
and
he's gone.
Cordero Patterson is gone. Wow! It's a 79-yard screen pass touchdown. Cordero Patterson.
It's X's and O's with head coach Mike Zimmer on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. X's and O's is presented by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Now, from Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
What's going on? We welcome head coach Mike Zimmer into the mix for X's and O's with Mike Zimmer, provided by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Paul Allen, indeed, with the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, off the Lions loss into the Buffalo Bills game this weekend. How you doing, coach? It's been a little bit of a topsy-turvy season and week for you, hasn't it?
It has, but we just keep going about our business. We expect to pull out of this soon, and you know, I go back and think about the preseason, the training camp, the beginning game against St. Louis, and what kind of football team we looked like, and even the first drive against New England before things kind of hit the fan a little bit. You know, that's what I want to get back to. I want to get back to being an efficient football team.
How do you get back to it?
Well, we just got to keep going. We got to keep grinding. We got to keep working on getting better each and every week. We got to continue to try to find guys that will be consistent in what we're trying to do. And there is no magic answers, Paul. You know, we're playing good people every single week, but that's no excuse, and we have to continue to play good as well.
I don't mean this flippantly, and I would never question the level of desire, focus, or approach with your team, but do you ever battle with people wanting something as badly as you do? And I'm not saying putting as much time in as you do, but just naturally being an emotional-going guy, people wanting something as badly as you do.
Well, I want it for the fans as much as anything. I want not so much for me. I want it for Minnesotans and the Twin Cities and for this football team. I want them to have success, and obviously, I want them to want it as much as I do our football team. So I'm going to keep instilling everything that I have to put into this. Keep trying to get guys better each and every week. I have tremendous amount of respect for our coaches and the work that they do, and you know, there is no magic answer. Like I said before, it's just we got to line up and we got to block people and tackle people, and you know, football is a fundamental game, and sometimes we make it too complicated.
Do you feel you're close? I mean, defensively, and I know you don't want to hear this, but it seemed like defensively, outside of that first drive, the defense played pretty well in that Lions game, and has improved. Maybe not game by game, but we definitely have seen improvement this year. Offensively, though, it's gone the other way, so you're having to ride the emotions of that whole thing.
Yeah, there is a little bit of that, and defensively, you know, the hard part for me is we can play so good in so many instances, and then we'll have a couple bad plays that kind of allow other teams to score, and then it makes it 7-0, or it's 14-0, and now your thinking offensively is going to change. So it is a team game as we get going here, and if we'll continue to improve defensively, and that's one of the things that I've felt good about throughout the course of this season, the things that we've emphasized, we've worked on, and we've gotten better at, and I think we'll continue to do that. And offensively, with and I'm not using injuries as an excuse, but with some of the injuries that we've had to tweak and twist and try to figure out different ways to do things, and things will come better as we continue to stay with what we're doing.
It is a fair way to look at it, even though I know you or North Turner would not bring it up because it could be a loser's lament. But seriously, you get the job in January, you hire Norv, and you base your entire preseason plan off play action to and running Adrian Peterson. And then all of a sudden, poof, he's gone. So then you have to change middle of the stream. Seriously speaking, that has been tough to overcome, right?
Well, I still expect a lot more of our football team than what we've done. You know, there's been times the offense has played great. They played great against Atlanta. They played great the first part of the ball game against New England, and then we kind of lost our way. And then the last 2 weeks, I understand that's the way it is. But you know, this game is an every week deal. Things change every week. That's why they call it the NFL. It changes every single week, every single game. You're playing different people, both offensively and defensively. And so we just got to keep plugging away. I do know that the players want to win very, very badly, and I want to win very badly. So that's kind of where we're at.
What offensively, I know from your Monday press conference, you said you expected to do better offensively. You only had 3 points. And Bridgewater was sacked 8 times, and everybody knows that's not just the offensive line. It has to do with other protection schemes, quarterback holding the ball too long, missing receivers, blah, blah, blah. But with Teddy, how did he come out of all that after you watched it with him on Monday? How was Bridgewater after he saw it back?
He's fine. He's a great competitor. He wants to be good for this football team. That's the thing I love the most about this kid is he's all about this football team. He wants to help the offensive line out. He wants to help the backs out. He wants to do everything for everyone. It's not ever about him. And so if we will collectively help him, then we'll all be good.
Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. I'm Paul Allen. This is X's and O's with Mike Zimmer, presented by Xfinity. And you can find X's and O's weekly. We will have an assistant coach coming up very shortly. Last one on Bridgewater. Monday at your press conference, you definitively said, this is a franchise quarterback. You just talked about his smarts and his demeanor. What are some other things that lead you to believe when you see Teddy, that this is the guy, maybe the guy for 10 years?
Well, I've watched him since the day he's walked in here. Everything that he's done, the way he works, the way he studies, the way he throws the ball every single day at practice. I see the way he performed against Atlanta. I saw the way he performed against New Orleans when he went in there in a tough situation.
Yep.
We had a bad week last week, but I think that he's going to bring this thing around, and I have faith that he can do that.
And the thing about Bridgewater in the Detroit Lions game is against that ballyhooed defensive line, which includes Nick Fairley and Dominick Sue, Ziggy Ansah, Jason Jones played well, George Johnson, and even C.J. Mosley, a couple of former Vikings as backups, they got in there and played pretty well too. In talking to you and or Norv Turner about Bridgewater, you guys will be quick to talk about his quick decision making, how he's a quick twitch guy and generally sees things quickly. That didn't seem to be the case in the Lions game. Did that surprise you?
Well, it did a little bit. I think some of the areas that he had, he was unsure of the coverages in a couple different areas, and so that caused him to hold the ball a little bit. And then some of it was they had us covered,
yeah.
And so we've got to help him there. And then we can't have a time clock in our head in protection either. It's not, hey, Teddy gets the ball out in 2.5, so that's all we have to block. We may have to block 3 seconds sometimes,
So you know, 2.5 is that number?
No, I'm just.
I was going to say.
I'm just randomly
that's
throwing.
Split
I'm just.
Right there.
I'm just randomly throwing one out. But he. But it's important to me that we don't have a time clock in our head. However long we have to block him, we have to block him.
Yeah, with your analysis of football, when it comes to the casual fan analyzing football, is it really impossible to formulate opinions unless you have that all 22 film and you really know what you're looking for? You know what I'm saying? From a fan standpoint, when they want to take a look at certain facets of a team and they do it from the TV copy, that makes it tough, doesn't it?
Well, I think all fans are going to have opinions, and that's okay. That's why they love the game, and that's why they love watching it, so they can voice their opinions, and that's why they pay their money and buy DirecTV and everything else. But I do think that if you understand the schemes of things that everything's going on, makes things a little bit better. You know, sometimes you see the offensive line might be oversetting a defensive end, and the guard is supposed to help on him because we're going out to block the nickel or we're going out to block the dime, and you see a guy get beat inside. Well, that's really not his thing. So yep. There's things in the game that hey, I'm still learning. Everybody's still learning. You know, we see different things every single week because we go against some great coaches, and we all try to continue to get better.
Mike, off the Lions game in your Monday's press conference, you were talking about Linval Joseph, and you went out of your way to praise him. And you said that he does some things in the game that don't show up on the stat sheet. When Linval, a free agent acquisition by the Vikings, when he performs well, yet we don't see it on the stat sheet, what's he doing?
Well, he's doing a great job of keeping people off of the linebacker so they can help make plays. He's doing a great job of staying at the line of scrimmage or knocking the offensive line back. And there's obviously things he has to do better as well, but he played so much better in the Detroit game than he did against Green Bay, and I was on him pretty hard last week in practice about the things he had to do, and the thing that I liked the most was that he went out and did them, and all the thing he worked real hard all week on doing exactly what we were trying to get him to do, and he did it. So that's the big thing for me.
Are you okay with Cordero Patterson and his kick returns? I mean, it may be a stupid question, but any thought of pulling him off kick return so he can solely focus on receiving and being a running back and stuff?
No, I don't think the kick return is taking a lot of focus off being a receiver. He loves to do that, and you know, I think it's important that the guys do what they love to do. So, and plus, he's a heck of a weapon. So we'll just keep doing that and keep getting him better at receiver and. You know, that's a good thing about young players. You know, you go back and you look at, what's Darius' name? Say it again.
Marcel Darius, yeah.
Right?
Defensive tackle, Bills.
For 2 years, they were saying this guy was not going to be a player. Now he comes out and he's a player. You look at Nick Fairley, right? For two years, they're saying, oh, this guy's not this or this guy's not that. And now he's playing pretty darn good, right? So sometimes it takes people time to develop, and none of us are patient. I understand that, but there has to be some patience, especially with young players. Now, will they ever get it? Who knows? But I've been through so many guys throughout my career that the first year, Geno Atkins, he was strictly a third down situational pass rusher his first year before he became able to be a full-time defensive lineman. Carlos Dunlap, who they just paid a lot of money to, he didn't play really start for 3 years until that third year. There's so many guys that this kind of thing happens with, and I'm the most impatient person in the world, and I have to temper my patience at times so that I can understand these things. And I don't ever want to be good next year. I want to be good yesterday. So that's the dilemma for me as well.
Last one. What does their offense look like with Kyle Orton compared to what it looked like with E.J. Manuel?
Well, there's not near as many zone read plays, quarterback run types of plays. He's more not nearly as mobile, obviously, as that. But as far as the running game and the passing game, it's very similar to what it was before.
Thanks for the chat.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck this weekend. All right, Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. I'm Paul Allen. That's X's and O's presented by Xfinity on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
You're listening to The Fan.
Hey, Pete Bursich here, and chances are you love
The Fan.
And welcome back to X's and O's. I'm Paul Allen. Very happy to be joined by Minnesota Vikings running backs coach Kirby Wilson. We'll chat with Kirby momentarily after we remind you to join yours truly and Paul Charchi on Friday morning, 9 to noon at Buffalo Wild Wings in Crystal for the Friday Football Feast presented by Miller Lite. Check out the complete schedule at Vikings.com or on my show page, the Paul Allen show page at KFAN.com. How are you, Mr. Wilson? Good to chat with you.
Thank you very much. I'm doing excellent. Thanks for having me.
How's the 2-4 treating you, sir?
Very bad right now. You know, we're not where we want to be, obviously, and we've got a lot of work to do, but we've got a bunch of capable young men that are excited and looking forward to this challenge, so we're going to keep working.
Let's chat about Jerick McKinnon and Matt Asiata here momentarily, but kind of take us through the who, what, where, when, and why of Kirby Wilson, like where you started, where you've been, some of the highlights of your career, and after an extensive run, including a Super Bowl victory with the Pittsburgh Steelers, how you ended up here.
Yeah, I started coaching right after my playing career, very shortly right after the playing career. I started at a place called Southern Illinois University.
Right.
And it was in Carbondale, Illinois. Great, great campus. Worked for a guy by the name of Bob Smith, who was an offensive line coach at the University of Illinois when I was a player there. So that was the start of that relationship. From there, went on to University of Wyoming with Joe Tiller and the Cowboys, and lived in Laramie, Wyoming. And I tell you, if anybody ever tells you you have a year to live, move to Laramie, because it'll be the longest year of your life. But I really did. I really did enjoy my time there. It's excellent football, great people, and I enjoyed the football and obviously the people I work with. From there, I went on to Iowa State with Dan McCarney, coaching in the Big 12, and I had a pretty good running back there by the name of Troy Davis. 2,000 yards in consecutive seasons. Only running back in the history of college football to ever do that. Outstanding young man there. From there, I got my first professional job, going to work for Pete Carroll and the New England Patriots at that time, back in 1997. From there, I went on to Washington Redskins with North Turner, on to USC, again with Pete Carroll, and then on to Tampa Bay Buccaneers with John Gruden, where we won a Super Bowl title in 2002-2003. From there on to the Arizona Cardinals with Dennis Green. They are who they thought we were. And then
you were there for that game?
Yes, I was.
Wow.
That was classic, man. Yeah. That was epic, and I'll never forget that, you know. And my middle son still walks around with a hoodie on that has those quotes on them. They are who they thought we thought they were. So that was a good stay in the desert, and didn't win enough games, and so we moved on from there. And there I took my family to Pittsburgh, and that's where we joined the Pittsburgh Steelers there for 7 years, and just a great, great football city and great people to be around, staff, players, city. It was a great place to be. And then from there, obviously, to the great city of Minneapolis and Eden Prairie, where we are now, working with the Minnesota Vikings.
What is it like winning a Super Bowl? And what is the, I mean, the season is a complete grind. You're trying to win all your games, get home field advantage, and then just to get through the AFC title game or the NFC title game, if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, back when you won it with Brad Johnson beating the Oakland Raiders and Rich Gannon. But after you get through the championship game, the conference championship, then you got that 2 weeks. What's that time like up to the Super Bowl? And then after you win, is there kind of a letdown after winning it because you don't know what to do?
No, absolutely not. There's no letdown because that's when, you know, the excitement really kicks in, because prior to that, you're so consumed with, you know, the details, you know, turning over every stone, the attention, the details on the assignments, the requirements of what it's going to take to win that game. Because as great as those moments were that led you to the Super Bowl, you know, there's nothing that compares with winning it. And obviously, contrary to that, I've been on the other end when I've lost one. Mm. And that's not a lot of fun because you don't prepare for losing.
Yeah.
And so it's just the greatest, you know, professional feeling in the world. And from a sport standpoint, winning that Super Bowl, the ultimate title, is the best feeling in the world. And once you get it, you always want it.
What was it like being on a team that included Warren Sapp?
Wow, one of the great characters I've ever been around. I always tease people. When I write my book after my NFL coaching career is over with, he's going to have a chapter all to himself. What a great guy. Tremendous character, a tremendous leader in the locker room and on the field, and arguably one of the top 10 players I've ever been around, you know, as a coach.
Kirby Wilson, running backs coach for the Minnesota Vikings. We'll share some more stories here momentarily. Jerick McKinnon with 82 total yards in the loss to Detroit, and he's had a little pop to his game in a couple of his games this year, specifically with Atlanta and with some of these runs against Detroit. What do you like about the rookie Jerick McKinnon?
I like him because he has a very good football high IQ. He learns exceptionally well. He's bright. He's sharp. He wants to be a very, very good pro, and I like his overall explosiveness and his athletic ability, because when you're scouting and evaluating players, you're always looking for things that you can't teach, and he has some of those things, and that's what I like about him. And he's still developing. It's going to take a time, but he's starting to round out who he is and what type of player he's going to be in the National Football League. And off these early results, I'm very excited about him.
Matt Asiata, more of a tough love yardage kind of guy. Plus, he can catch the ball out of the backfield a little bit, just ask the New England Patriots. And he seems like a good goal line back kind of guy.
Yeah, he's probably pretty good 1 yard runner, you know, meaning that he's got a nose for the end zone when he's inside in goal line situations. Another true professional, and the organization has done a great job in bringing this guy along. He was a good find when they found him coming out 3 years ago, and he's a very, very classy individual, great football character, and I'm so glad I'm having this opportunity to work with him, and I look forward. I think he also is going to help us and do a lot of great things for us as we move forward.
Kirby, 3 minutes to go and two stories. First, your playing career included stops with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and the Toronto Argonauts in 1983 and 1984 as a defensive back and a kick returner. What was it like playing in the Canadian Football League?
I really enjoyed it. It was a great experience for someone who thought never in my wildest dreams would that happen for me. I was 160 pounds soaking wet, so it was just a great experience, and I got a chance to play against some great players, most notably Warren Moon.
Yeah.
And so that was like the highlight of my professional career up there.
Now, when you, correct me if I'm wrong here, but when you were in Pittsburgh, you became engulfed in a bad fire. Is that accurate, and what happened with that?
Well, yeah, unfortunately, it was coming up on 3 years ago. I was in a house fire in the early hours of January 6th, prior to a playoff game. And you don't remember much of it, but as a burn victim, what you do if you survive it, obviously, is you just work extremely hard day by day to rehab, get yourself back, because you lose all your functions that you once were able to do, that people take for granted, the ability to stand, the ability to walk, jog, run, lift weights, stand up and take a shower. I couldn't do any of those things on my own, and it took a grueling 3 months of being in the hospital after for 71 days to get myself back to that level. So it's been a grind. I'm truly blessed. There was a tremendous staff in that hospital, doctors, nurses, and physical therapists that got me ultimately to where I am today. So I've been truly blessed.
So in that house fire, you were in the middle, you were watching your hands and or arms or whatever, you were watching fire come off of them?
I don't know if it's unfortunate or fortunate, but you don't remember really any of that. You know, you're just trying, you know, speaking just as for me, you're just trying to get out. You know, it's chaos. It's total chaos going on around you and surrounding you, and you're just trying to get out of that place alive, and you don't really have your sense to you and your wits. And what I was told, generally what happens is that the smoke kills you, and then the fire burns you up, but it wasn't my time to go, and the good man above kind of directed me through the smoke and got me out of there alive, and then it all went blank from there.
God bless you, man. I'm glad you're here, and 3 years ago, man. Man, yeah, definitely something was shining on you. Congratulations.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kirby. Have a good day.
All right.
That's Kirby Wilson, running backs coach for the Minnesota Vikings. Join host Mike Musselman along with Vikings defensive end Everson Griffin for Vikings Country tomorrow at 6 in the evening at Dracula's in Invergrove Heights. You can win great prizes, including a trip to the Miller Lite Touchdown in the tropics in Cancun. Visit Vikings.com/Vikings Country for more information. We thank Eric Nordquist and Jay Nelson for producing the show, and I'm Paul Allen. That's X's and O's with Mike Zimmer, presented by Xfinity on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.